The first epistle of Blessed Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, while you were still heathen, as you can remember well enough, you let yourselves be led away wherever men would lead you, to worship false gods that gave no utterance. That is why I am telling you of this. Just as no one can be speaking through God's Spirit if he calls Jesus accursed, so it is only through the Holy Spirit that anyone can say, Jesus is Lord. Yet there are different kinds of gifts, though it is the same Spirit who gives them, just as there are different kinds of service, though it is the same Lord we serve, and different manifestations of power, though it is the same God who manifests his power everywhere in all of us. The revelation of the Spirit is imparted to each to make the best advantage of it. One learns to speak with wisdom by the power of the Spirit, another to speak with knowledge with the same Spirit for his rule. One through the same Spirit is given faith, another through the same Spirit powers of healing. One can perform miracles, one can prophesy, another can test the spirit of the prophets. One can speak in different tongues, another can interpret the tongues. But all this is a work of one and the same Spirit, who distributes his gifts as he will to each severally. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. There were some who had confidence in themselves, thinking they had won acceptance with God and despised the rest of the world. To them, Jesus addressed this other parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood upright and made this prayer in his heart. I thank thee, God, that I am not like the rest of men who steal and cheat and commit adultery, or like this publican here. For myself, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican stood far off. He would not even lift up his eyes towards heaven. He only beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I tell you, this man went back home justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and the man who humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, Paul makes abundantly clear what ostensibly every Catholic knows to be sure, that every good gift, every capacity, every ability, every talent we have comes from God. God is the source of it all. And God chooses to distribute those gifts according to his divine providence and his wisdom. Therefore, some are better at some things than others. And some can do things that others cannot do. Now, if this is our base knowledge and this is our approach to the reality of life, then why is it that Catholics who are supposed to know better can still behave like the Pharisee, can still make rash judgments, can still create an us versus them mentality, can still point out all the faults of others and never acknowledge their own? Because after all, if on the positive sense we are acknowledging all that we have comes from God, and therefore, since we cannot take stock of it in and of ourselves, we're not abundantly confident in that respect, therefore our disposition towards others in their flaws would be merciful. If this be the case, then how is it that we're still disposed to that rash judgment? We're still disposed to that everyone's got it wrong but me mentality. We're still disposed to the reality of creating an us versus them dynamic. And we know, of course, it's concupiscence, but concupiscence by its very nature, when we seek the lesser goods over the greatest good that is God, is still motivated in some ways in action by the will. We may be disposed to something, but ultimately we still have to will it to be so. So I have to be willingly concupiscent in the sense that I follow through with my instincts, my inclinations, which reason would tell me are often flawed if they are governed by passion, but nonetheless, passion is enticing. Passion can even be intriguing. And therefore, it feels good to be angry at the world. It feels good to be angry at those others who don't behave properly. It feels good to be angry because the passions are that way. But we know that emotions inform reason, so in that respect, ultimately, our reason should be prevailing. No, clearly, we cannot simply blame concupiscence and then say it's a lack of discipline on our part, which might make it easier for us, because in the end, that does present the situation, as our Lord seems to indicate in this parable, that we are approaching the Lord like the Pharisee. We are confident in our position before God. We are well satisfied with ourselves, and we are firmly convinced that God is as satisfied with us as we are with ourselves. And this position cannot be so, especially if we are keeping in mind the reality of what St. Paul is telling us about the good things we're able to do, and then juxtapose that with our own weaknesses, our own sinfulness, then how could we possibly make a rash judgment about another's soul? How could we possibly create this us versus them dynamic? How could we possibly be so always hostile and angry at the world if we ourselves know that God has every reason to be angry at us? This is the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. Again, the Pharisee is well satisfied in himself and firmly believes God is equally satisfied. God wants nothing more from him. God is content with the knowledge base he has. God is content with his exterior actions, which for a Pharisee indicates his interior disposition, exactly what St. Paul condemns throughout his letters, the reality of the belief that works will save. If we are content with the sense that God is satisfied with us, then we are the Pharisee. If we are content that our knowledge base of the faith needs no improvement, we are the Pharisee. If we are content that our prayer life is ideal the way it is, we are a Pharisee. If we are content that there's no further knowledge we can obtain of the faith, of hope, of charity, and putting them into practice, we are the Pharisee. If we believe that our family life is ideal and needs no advancement, no improvement, we are a Pharisee. If we believe that we can hold things and keep things exactly the same as they always are, especially for those of you who see children getting older and moving on to what you might unfortunately recognize as bigger and better things, then we are a Pharisee. And our Lord is saying we cannot be Pharisees. He will even tell the apostles to beware the leaven of the Pharisees, that dynamic that enlivens the Pharisees and gets into the world and gets easily into us because of our pride, because of our concupiscence. The greatest thing we have to fight in the world today is the sense of entitlement. There are many Catholics that feel entitled to the things of the faith. There are many Catholics that feel entitled to the most blessed sacrament at communion. There are many Catholics that feel entitled to luxury and ease. There are many Catholics who would put all their emphasis on the world and believe that God is satisfied that all their emphasis is on the world, because they're entitled to salvation. Because like the Pharisees, they believe it's owed to them. There may be married people who don't live anywhere near the charity they're called to live and even make it difficult upon each other or upon their children, yet they believe that this is agreeable, that this is part of married life, because they're entitled to it. They're entitled to be mad at their spouse. They're entitled. Let us be mindful of ourselves. Entitlement is ultimately about pride, the root of all the seven deadly sins. Entitlement is a dynamic where we seek only things to make ourselves happy, to ingratiate ourselves, and we believe the whole world revolves around us. Anyone can see that just when they go out for an errand while driving. It's easy to see how most people drive with a sense of entitlement that all their cars are in my way. All other people are indeed obstructing me. Let's be mindful of ourselves then and be disposed to humility, remembering that first and foremost, every good thing we have comes from God, therefore there's nothing for us to brag about. And also remembering the dynamic of sin and our own personal failures and how we should and always do go before our Lord asking for mercy, St. Augustine commented, at least in his day, during the Holy Sacrifice, how loud the sound was in his church when all the faithful would beat their breasts at the Confiteor. Like thunder, it was so loud. And not because the faithful were making a show, but because they knew they were sinners and they knew this indication of their sorrow before God because of their sins. We must be mindful of who we are, but we must first be mindful of God and who He is, and Jesus the Christ, who indeed has brought us salvation, not because we deserve it, but because He loves His Father and is obedient to the Father, and indeed has an authentic charity for us that calls for our salvation. But that same charity works in the end towards free will. And therefore, you and I must choose to follow God. We must choose to be humble. We must choose to recognize the source of every good thing, and yes, even the origins of every evil thing, recognizing our fallen state and natural and moral evil. And not shaking our fists at God when things go wrong, expecting that life's supposed to be perfect all the time, but indeed praying for graces that God will give as we are tested to become that much better. For contrary to our own popular mythical belief, God is not satisfied with us, but God desires us to grow closer and closer to Him on this life that is a pilgrimage and indeed a battle to end up where God has desired us, in the kingdom of heaven. Let us be humble before God, and let us be more critical of ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.